Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You can't beat the scran doing it, Marco's. I'm Colin Byers, and alongside me, as usual, is Martin Smith. This week, we'll be looking back at the 2019-20 season, and we'll be naming our own award winners as we look at Goal of the Season, Player of the Year, and Young Player of the Year, amongst others. So then, Martin, the 2019-20 season, memorable, but maybe not necessarily for the right reasons.
No, it was a sort of mixed bag of a season. Started off the season, in my opinion, quite well through August, but then as it got through September and October, it seemed to come unstuck quite a bit. And so I just set the pattern for the whole season. Never really recovered for that poor couple of months, and it sort of ended the season quite badly.
And it petered out quite dramatically in the end, didn't it?
Aye, the were performances and the results as well, combined with the way the season did end with the coronavirus kind of boot as well. It's sort of petered out in the end, that nobody really wanted it to end that way.
No, not at all. So, right, we've got some awards to give out, whether or not anybody pays attention to this at all, but these are based on just on our opinions. So we've got four. We're going to have Performance of the Season, Goal of the Season, Young Player of the Season, and of course we're going to have Player of the Season as well. So we're going to start with Performance of the Season. The two that we've picked, Martin, are back-to-back games, really.
Yeah, they're games that sort of are quite memorable, highlight of our season. We'll touch on them. It went from a really bad run in October, where we got 0 points, so then were best two games of the season, I would say.
Yeah, so the first our first choice was the Wraith game, 2nd of November, the 2-0 home win. It was a pretty good performance.
Obviously it's one of our better performances. I think it's maybe one of them games that we'd gone into, we've spoken quite a few times about Wraith and Falkirk sort of being three hits. And the fact that we were able to pick up 3 points against a really good Wraith team, obviously on that day they weren't at their best. I think the weather, I remember rightly, played a part in the result that we got there, but a very good performance nonetheless.
And it came off the back of four losses in a row and no wins out of six as well, so it was kind of a performance that came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah, because we're sort of earmarked October as being quite a key month where we sort of hoped that we could get 6 points out of the three games that we had, and getting the two wins. That didn't happen, so it sort of put a bit of pressure on the games coming in against Wraith and Clyde. So the fact that we got a result against Wraith was really good.
Yeah, and our second choice was the week after, but was the Clyde game, another win. Again, it was a performance that I think we've mentioned before. Jim had said it was the best performance he'd seen Peterhead in the time that he's been there. So it's up there with not just this season, but in the last 8 years.
Yeah, that's quite an accolade to have. And Jim's come out and said that he did after that game that it was one of our better performances. Could have been more on the day. When you watch it back, we could have had a couple more goals. But the fact that we'd beaten Wraith the week before and then followed it up, I think that was the more important thing, that we followed up a good result with another good one, especially on the road as well, and the fact that it's against Clyde makes it more special.
And the record at Broadwood recently has been pretty good, so maybe the actual result itself wasn't a surprise, but it was the performance, I think, more than anything else that surprised everybody.
Yeah, there's a lot of comments made after the game how well Peterhead had played. I think that's credit to them. Like I said, after the Wraith game as well, it's quite easy to go into them two games. I've been on the back of the poor run in October for morale to be quite low. It was two really good results and two really good performances thrown in as well.
So out of the two then, we have gone with the result against Clyde as our performance of the season. I don't think that's any surprise to any of you, but it was a fantastic result, fantastic performance, and well worthy of the award, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. There's maybe an argument to say the game against Wraith, but for us, to me as well, it's certainly going to be the Clyde game.
That's it. So on to the next award that we've got then. I say award, these aren't, we're not physically giving out an award as such, it's just these are the ones that we think are deserving. So goal of the season then. Goal of the season was maybe more slightly tricky. Not a lot of goals to kind of choose from, but we did narrow it down to a top five. So we'll go through in reverse order then. Our first choice, top five, fifth place, was Scott Brown's goal against Stranraer on the 31st of August.
Yeah, a really good goal. It came at a crucial time. Obviously, August was a couple of good results, but away to Stranraer, so it's a long trek. It's never easy than being there and coming away with 3 points. Good finish with Scott in top corner, just outside the edge of the box. So yeah, it was a good strike, and it was compiled a good result as well.
And the good thing about the actual strike itself, he didn't just blast it, he placed it rather than at the top corner, which maybe last season he maybe would have tried to hit that as hard as gone and maybe blazed over the bar, but the fact that he's got 8 goals this season would suggest that he'd maybe looked at his shooting, maybe tried to improve his long range effort. But that one particularly was one that he'd set up quite well.
Yeah, I think it's something that Scott evidently has worked on. As you said, he's a top goal scorer season at 8 goals. It's easy for that sort of effort to lean back and just blast it right over the top of the bar. It's a controlled finish. He knew exactly what he was doing, and I don't think the keeper stood a chance of saving, to be honest.
No. Okay, in fourth place, it's another goal against Stranraer. This time the home game, and it's going to Ryan Conroy in the game against Stranraer on the 7th December. 3-0 win, I think that game was. Stranraer, it was a poor performance by Stranraer, but Conroy's goal was quite a good individual goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's maybe not the most glamorous of goals, but it's good play on our right hand side, a 1-2, and then into Conroy. Again, it's one of them, if you get your body behind it, you can easily blast over the bar, but it's a controlled finish at the bottom corner, and certainly worthy of being in our top five.
And it's a position that you maybe would have liked to seen him in more through the course of the season. I think he did, on occasions he did kind of drift in, but he just never seemed to be in that kind of shooting position.
No, like you said, he does drift in quite a lot. He's got a good left foot. I think he's maybe just players round about him doesn't help. He's a good player, and teams know that, and they try and mark him. One marking in games, it seems. So the efforts he had were few and far between, but this one that he certainly scored was a good goal.
Yeah, so we're top three then. We're third place goal is another Scott Brown goal, this time against Montrose away on the 1st of February, in one of those 2-4-3 games.
Yeah, we seem to have quite a goal scenario with Montrose at the moment, isn't it, where every game seems to be high scoring. Again, another good goal from Scott Brown. Slightly similar to the one that he scored against Stranraer. It's a controlled finish, easy to blast over the bar. He's leaning back ever so slightly in this one, and it's a good controlled finish in the corner as well.
And that game, I think that was a game that we were 3-1 down at one point. So for him to be kind of to control that finish was, again, as you said, it could be easy to just blaze it over the bar.
Aye, as you said, we're 3-1 down. It's probably easy to try and snatch a shot and try and get things moving quicker than they are. But his controlled finish will obviously get probably right back into the game.
So our second place goal of the season. Again, another one against Montrose, simply because we scored 6 goals against them last season. All 6 were away from home in the 2-4-3s. This was from the other 4-3 game in September, 28th of September, and it was JV Stevenson's volley.
Yeah, we sort of debated this over our first and second choice. There's an argument for this one to be our top one. I really like this finish, and I said it at the time when it happened. This is one that I think 99 times out of 100 a player would blast over the bar. He's got his body over it, and it's a really well-timed... He's connected really well in the volley. I think that's what I like about it as much. He's got his body over it and controlled it. Especially for a midfielder as well. You know, some strikers would struggle with that at the best of times, but for a midfielder, it's a really good strike.
I dare we say it was Zidane-esque?
That's quite an accolade to compare, with all due respect, Jamie Stevenson to Zinedine Zidane, but nonetheless, a lovely finish.
Yeah. So we're goal of the season then. Again, it goes to a goal against Montrose. It was in the second 4-3 game and it goes to Cook for his long range effort.
Yeah, a really good finish. I don't think there was much debate over it as such. But it was a really good finish. Left foot, 25, 30 yards out. I think the commentary from him goes as well. The commentator on that game was quite impressed with it as well. So that tells you something from the commentary of the opposition are applauding your goal. So yeah, really good finish by Cook.
It was a crisp, clean strike. I think it went straight into the bottom corner. No deflection or anything. It was such a clean hit.
Yeah, no deflection or nothing. It's a lot of bounce right in front, and he's hit it sweet as I'm not. Yeah, 25-30 yard goal is always nice to see.
It was not a bad way to kind of introduce yourself, get your first goal as well.
Aye, exactly. Not long, been in just a couple of weeks, and certainly a way to open your account for the Blue Toon.
So that's it. Cook's goal against Montrose is our Blue Toon podcast goal of the season. So congratulations to him. So on to our next one then, we've got Young Player of the Season. Young Player of the Season, it was slightly tricky for us to kind of pick a Young Player of the Season, purely based on the fact that the majority of the squad is over that age of 21 or 22 and under. So it was kind of difficult to kind of nail down a winner as such. But we've got three candidates, and we'll go through them in alphabetical order. First up, we've got Ben Armour, new signing this season. Slightly in and out of the team, but I think his second half kind of performance merits the mention in this kind of category.
Yeah, Ben didn't go off to the greatest of starts. I think maybe the formation, if it was two up top, might have been slightly different for him. But as you said, second half of the season, he's a player that's willing to run into channels, and he doesn't give up anything. Certainly always willing to work for the cause. I think next season is quite an important season for Ben, if he's going to try and kick on, maybe try and get into the plans of Jim as a regular starter, or a player that's going to come off the bench and change the game. I think that's what Jim sort of used him as at the moment, but hopefully next season he can sort of kick on and try and be a regular starter.
And the injury picked up second half of the season probably set him back slightly. He got the goal against Dumbarton, I think it was, and then got injured straight after. So I think if that hadn't happened, I think he probably would have kicked on.
Yeah, there was a couple of games just before that. There was about a 3-4 week spell where we thought he'd maybe just start to come into a game. As you said, that injury, it probably hasn't helped him. But hopefully, if there is something positive to come out of this virus, is that next season he'll be raring to go and hungrier more than ever.
Okay, we're second candidate then. It goes to defender Cammy Eady. Again, might be a strange choice considering that second half of the season he didn't play much, but he's still got 16 starts, three off the bench. We've mentioned before about him, he probably wasn't first choice centre half. He certainly wasn't. He was certainly further down the pecking order as likes of Boland and Ferguson that came in, although he did towards the end have a swell at right back.
He's a very versatile player. I suppose one of the biggest compliments you could give him is he's a solid player. He will give you a good 7, 8 out of 10 most weeks. Very rarely does he have that moment of panic. I think he's quite a controlled defender. You see a lot of defenders quite willing to lash things out the park or look quite nervous on the ball, whereas I think Eady is that sort of player. I don't think he's really done anything wrong this season either. You can sort of count himself a wee bit unlucky to be in and out of the team. Jim's brought in a couple of players in January as well. Like I said, he's probably unlucky that he's starting their games and what he does.
Okay, and then we're third choice in the category was Aidan Smith. Again, another new player in for this season. We had kind of high hopes for him when he signed. He was kind of the first one in the door, and we had kind of high hopes for him. A season or two halves, really, for him.
Yeah, there was a period, I think it was October, maybe going into November. I think I banged on about it for about 5-6 weeks. I thought there was a player there. He's got that pace that I think most defenders in the league struggle with. Struggle to track him. Very quick player. It's that decision making in the final third where he would rather take a shot from a tight angle rather than pull it back or look for somebody. It's just that little finishing bit, that if that bit of the game improves, then I think he would certainly be a candidate for banging on the door of the gym and saying, look, you need to play me more often. But until that slight decision-making improves, then I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think we're still waiting for him to kind of decide, or certainly for Jim to decide where he's best at, whether it's in the wide areas or if it's through the middle.
Yeah, sometimes he's been played on the left, sometimes he's a half on the right, and then sometimes he's up front. I don't think that really helps Aidan's game either. He's probably better knowing what position he's going to play and trying to adapt his game or work in his game even more to suit the position that he's going to be playing. So hopefully next season that's something that Jim and Aidan Smith can work on and find the best position for him. And I hope he'll have a good season for it.
Okay, so you going to guess the winner for this one then? The order, reverse order, third place?
Yes, we've gone for Callum Eady in third place, Aidan Smith in second, and our young player of the season is Ben Armour.
And Ben Armour, I think, thoroughly deserves it. He's one, he's got a lot of potential. Gave 110% whenever he played. So, yep, very happy for him to pick up the Blue Team Podcast Young Player of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you've hit a nail on the head there. He's a player that will give everything for us, and I'm hopeful for next season that it'll be a regular start and can impact even more.
Yep. So the main prize then, the player of the season, we kind of tossed and sort of turned about this one, about how we were going to do it. Again, we've got a top three. It was difficult to kind of narrow this one down slightly. I mean, that might sound strange considering the season that we had, but there were a lot of consistent performers, consistent performances from players. So it was more difficult this time round to narrow it down and certainly pick a player of the season out of those. So again, we'll be going alphabetical order for our top three. And the first one we've got is defender Jason Brown.
Yeah, he's a player that was good in League Two. And when we got promoted, I was slightly concerned at the start of the season that he might struggle to adapt with the technical players that we've got in League One. But I think his game from August to what you've seen him playing in February is better. And I think any player that you can see a slight improvement on, especially at centre-half, it's not an easy position to, you know, a striker gets more goals, you can see the improvement, or the midfielder's getting assists. We had kept that many clean sheets, we had struggled for that this season, but I do think Jason Brown's had a really good season. The odd lapse in concentration from time to time or a poor display, but 9 times out of 10 it will give you a really good performance.
What I like about Jason is he's aggressive, but he's not overly kind of, what I mean by that is he's not going in 2-foot tackles and things like that, but he's physical. He likes to stand his ground. He won't let the strikers dictate to him. I think it was a performance against Falkirk, against, I've forgotten his name now.
Salmon.
Connor Salmon. Yeah, he kind of had Connor Salmon in his back pocket as such in that kind of game. And Salmon's a big guy, but, you know, Jason managed to kind of control him and curtail his performance. And that's what you like to see. He's not afraid to kind of, you know, stick an elbow in the right kind of in the striker just now and again, just to stand his ground.
Yeah, but let him know he's there.
Yeah,
the game.
Exactly. And Jason's going to improve year on year with a manager like Jim as well, and I think as well with a coach now like Simon Ferry.
Yeah, I think the fact that Jason's got players running with the experience, like you said. Simon's there, and you've also got Scott Brown, Gary Fraser. These are key players for us, and I think that's helped Jason Brown's game coming on as well. He's a consistent player. He's a player that's probably one of the first names in the team sheet as well, I would hazard a guess for Jim. So yeah, definitely in with contention for player of the season.
And the other one we've got as well is another Brown, of course. It's a new captain, Scott Brown. He's in line as one of the contenders anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our best players this season, in my opinion. We've seen that he's also our top goal scorer. Variety of different goals that we've had from Scott this season as well. He conducts himself with the highest of calibre on the pitch. He's not the sort of guy that will go screaming and shouting at players, but he goes about his business in the park and he leads by example. But I'm sure he's not afraid to tell a player if they're having a poor game to buck their ideas up. But yeah, a very, very consistent performance this year from Scott.
We've mentioned numerous times as well that he's that traditional old box-to-box. He gets up and down the park. He's chipped in with his goals. I think the fact that he's got Simon Ferry just in that holding role, he knows that if he breaks forward, he's got the cover, which has probably helped his game this season, as opposed to maybe what it had been last season, where maybe he had to be a bit more kind of he had to concentrate slightly more and just kind of stay back quite a bit.
Yeah, like you said, the fact that Simon's there, it allows Scott to go forward. He doesn't really need to worry so much about what's left behind him. He knows he's got the defence and he's got Simon just marshalling it in front of him. So it allows him that freedom to go forward and get in positions to be able to score, which is why I think we've seen his best return for goals this season for us as well.
And we're third nominee then in this category. As we've mentioned his name already, but Simon Ferry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anybody would argue that he's certainly in contention for it. With a lot better aside when Simon's in the team, we do notice it when he's not playing. Whether that be his shouting on the park and his leadership quality he's got, or just his general play. You know, he's very good at dictating the tempo of the game. He'll get the ball. He knows when to slow the game down or when to pick up the pace and get things going. I think a lot of players feed off of Simon. So if Simon's having a good game, we seem to be having a good game. I think that's quite key for us that Simon's playing. When he is playing, and Simon's playing well, the team seem to do also.
Yeah, he's willing to get on the ball as well. He'll take the ball off the centre halves, and as you say, he likes to kind of dictate the play, spread the passes about. It's not just a case of getting a ball and just humping up the park. Just the one blip, I guess, in the entire season, but as we've said before, we seem to be a better team with him than we are without. And he does give that extra bit of security to what has been a young defensive partnership most of this season.
Yeah, I think when Simon's marshalling that back four or back three, whatever it is that Jim's playing, we do look a better side because Simon is, as we've heard numerous times, he's constantly shouting and speaking to his teammates. And when Simon's not there, I sometimes think that we certainly miss it because there's no players talking, but he says the simple things, which might sound simple to a player, but he's willing to say you need to be in certain places to prevent something happening. It can be quite simple from a throw-in, you need to stand in a certain area to block some view. So yeah, without Simon, we're not as good a team as we are without him.
Yeah, so that's where we're nominees then. So again, we'll go in reverse order. Third place goes to Jason Brown. Second place, or runner-up, is Simon Ferry. So the Blue Team Podcast Player of the Year for the 2019-20 season goes to Scott Brown. And I think, again, out with those three, we could have picked any of those.
Yeah, there's an argument for any of the three players, but we just felt that Scott, the goal return and the fact that it's a lot better season than what he's had previously, led him to be worth player of the season.
Yep, so congratulations to Scott on that award. Commiserations to the other two. So we'll move on and we'll have our season review as a whole then. We'll start off with the Betfred Cup in July. Now, the Betfred Cup, when the draw was made, we had obviously Cove, Raith, Inverness and Dundee. On paper, it maybe would have been slightly more difficult with the two championship teams, but considering Inverness had just been relegated down, we kind of fancied getting something out of that, maybe even getting through, even if it was maybe through the third place.
Yeah, like you said, on paper it looks a tough group. You've got Inverness, Dundee, Raith and Cove, but it's maybe slightly harsh, but slightly disappointed we didn't get through.
Yeah, because I think we kind of said that seven to 9 points probably would have been about par. The fact that we got six, I think it was, suggests that it was just slightly below what we should have been, which in hindsight probably summed up how the rest of the season was going to go.
Yeah, there was the performances against Inverness and Dundee sort of set the tone for our season, where we played really well. We drew both games 0-0. If we were able to take our chances that we had in the game, you know, it's obviously it's easy to say now, but they become different games. If you get your noses in front, you've got something to hang on to. We played really well against Inverness, and probably unlucky we didn't win the game in 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think if the boys look back at that, they'll say they probably should have won it. Eventually did with that epic penalty shootout, which is the longest penalty shoot I've ever seen, or ever been at. But again, a couple of 0-0s, which again, as you look through the season, there's a lot of those sort of nil scorelines.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a frustrating bit of the season as a whole, probably the lack of goals that we've got. We've got very good individual players, and they do work as a team. It's just that final product at the top end of the park. Obviously, strikers are in demand. They're hard to get a player that's going to bang 15-20 goals a season. But it's disappointing that probably not scored more goals than what our play deserves.
Yeah, so all in all, I think we could probably say that the Betfair was probably disappointing. However, given the draw, we probably weren't expected to get through, but I think there's a performances there that we've left that we haven't played particularly well. But that was
it's a weird thing to say that we're disappointed, considering we finished third and we had teams like Inverness, Dundee and Raith in our group.
Yeah.
It's weird that we're disappointed, but nonetheless, we felt that there were certainly performances there that merited us going through.
And if we'd finished third and going through, we probably would have taken that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But we're only a point behind Inverness. If we'd beaten them within the 90 minutes... It's small margins, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay, so the season started in August. A busy August, it turned out. 5 league games, 1 cup game. And it started off pretty well. We had the big game against Falkirk. Falkirk just been relegated themselves. Big crowd, big expectations on Falkirk. And then I remember when we got the team sheet and we looked at the Falkirk team, we kind of, shall we say, panicked a little bit, or we were extremely worried?
Yeah, absolutely. They were full of really good players. Like you mentioned to me, that half their team, and probably more than half their team, had got some sort of premiership quality or played at a premiership team in the last couple of seasons. Big game for us, as you said, opening day of the season at Ballymore, playing the relegated Falkirk. And I thought we gave ourselves a good account. I gave a good account of ourselves, I should say. Mm-hmm. Quite easy for Falkirk to come up, their fans come up in big numbers expecting to win, but they probably thought they would. They were probably expecting to come up here and score a couple early goals and have a nice day. It didn't quite work out like that for them. But I think, from a Peter Eads perspective, it was a good point.
Yeah, it was. And then away to East Fife as well, which I guess is a point you probably would have taken, especially away from home. But then the rest of the month was slightly, again, we've used the word quite a bit, inconsistent. Our first victory didn't come until the game against Forfar. And then to go to Stranraer and win 2-1 there was probably a decent result.
Yeah, I think that was the game. Was that the game that Ronan McAllister got sent off?
Yes.
I seem to think it was quite early on in the season.
Brown scored his two goals there.
Yeah. So to hang on with 10 men... against Rara, so that's not an easy place to go. I mentioned it earlier on, it's a long trek doing. That was a really good performance in what was a frustrating August.
Yeah, so I think the less said about the game against Formartin in the Challenge Cup, the better. I think 0-0. I think the only good thing about that game was the caramel wafer we've got in the Tunstall on the way through.
I think you said that on the way out, didn't you? The best bit about it was the wafer, so I think that sort of sums up that game.
It was a poor game. I mean, Jim's team selection for that would suggest that he wasn't overly worried about the competition. He was more concerned about the league. So, but to get knocked out at home by a team like Formartin, and it's no disrespect to Formartin, but I think the players that we had that day probably should have done better. And that probably maybe twigged to Jim that some of them maybe needed to either move on or be loaned out?
I think the game sort of came at a good time for Jim, because he played some of the so-called fringe players that hadn't really gotten much game time in the Bedford Cup, then they started the first couple of league games. They put them in against Romarin to see how they would get on, and he maybe just wasn't that impressed, and then we've seen a few loans and a few players leave.
Yeah, at least two of the starters are no longer there, and were no longer there before the end of the season as well. So, but August produced two wins, two draws and one loss in the league, and obviously that defeat in the Challenge Cup. September was slightly more tricky, slightly more disappointing. This was the kind of time where, obviously, after two wins, back-to-back wins against Forfar and Stranraer, we thought we were onto something. However, a heavy defeat to Raith Rovers was followed by a 1-1 draw to 10-man Clyde, and then that 4-3 game against Montrose, where Montrose hadn't even won a game all season, and suddenly they produced four goals.
Yeah, when we look back at September, as you said, it was a heavy defeat against Raith. Maybe not surprising. You know, Raith are a really good team. The draw against Clyde was frustrating, but, you know, over the period of a season, you'd maybe take a point. The Montrose game was a strange one, as you said. They hadn't won their seven before it. And then every goal seemed to be a worldie that we conceded. Every one of the four that sort of flew past Greg Fleming, there was an argument to say that it's potentially a candidate for their goal of the season competition. September was very disappointing on the back of what was a frustrating August. So when you look at the 2 month August to September, you've got 9 points. It's sort of a disappointing start to the season, given how well we started against Falkirk and got a point. You thought we might have been in for a decent season.
Yeah, in the Clyde one, I think it's more disappointing because it was against 10-man. It was against 10-man for quite a long period of time. But sometimes that's even more difficult to play against 10-men because obviously their tactics have changed. They would have the 9 men behind the ball plus the goalkeeper. So we just couldn't break them down.
Probably one of them games, especially Clyde, the way they set up and the way they play, that you probably prefer them to hit 11 players. Because at least that way you kind of going to come and attack you, and there is places that you can exploit within their back line. The fact that they're demanding off, they're sort of more rigid in their shape. Probably a story of our season with some of the great teams doing.
Yeah. So September produced no wins, one draw and two defeats. And just when we thought we couldn't get any worse, then we come into October. October with Airdrie, Falkirk and Dumbarton. At that time, I think certainly Falkirk and Airdrie were certainly up at the top end. Dumbarton ended up finishing sixth, I think, in the season. But it was three losses and only one goal that we scored.
Yeah, we sort of looked at the October and November fixtures, and we thought October was going to be a really big month for us. But I think we sort of earmarked if we got 6 points, we'd be happy. But if we got seven, getting something at Falkirk, it would be a really good month. The fact that we got zero sort of set the alarm bells ringing slightly. I think we sort of had high ambitions as probably the players did, that maybe an outside chance of the playoff promotion wise going into the season, if not just finishing slightly out of it. But after October, I think we're languishing, we're basically finished the season languishing 8th and 9th. But the performances, especially the Airdrie one at home, if I remember right, Airdrie only like 3 shots on target and scored 2 goals.
There was that dodgy penalty they got as well.
Yeah, it was a very frustrating month. Like I said, when you think it couldn't get any worse, we're going through in a month of 0 points.
Yeah. At that kind of point, I don't think the panic button was getting pushed, but certainly the finger was hovering over at that time. But going into November with no wins in six, we then produced 2 wins against Raith and Clyde, which we've already mentioned already. But then we go and follow up with another draw, and then another 2 defeats, one of them in the cup.
Yeah, a mixed bag. It's the story of our season, really, is it? But The Raithing Clyde game sort of came out of nowhere. The fact that we'd played so poor in October, and then we looked at the fixtures and we thought, you know, we've got Montrose, who at that point had gone into a really good run of form after they'd beaten us earlier on in the season. Raithing and Clyde are really tough games. We're starting to get, as you said, the panic button wasn't pressed, but it was starting to look quite grim. You look at the league positions, if you try and guess, or say we've got 1 point out of Clyde and Raith, you know, you start worrying a bit. Again, put out the cup against Raith. Performances against Raith and Falkirk, apart from opening day of the season, were poor. Also, we beat Raith in the league and then followed up with a really disappointing result in the cup. I think Jim had sort of hoped for better in the cup game, if I remember right. He was quite disappointed the fact that we threw in a really poor performance given what we could have done in the start of the month. So 6 points. It's weird because when you look at November, if you thought we'd got Montrose 4 for Raith and Clyde and then got in 6 points, you'd naturally think it would have been Montrose and 4 for that you'd gotten it against. So the hard work of Raith and Clyde had sort of been undone towards the end of the month.
And then just before we're going to touch on it in the second part of this, but the confidence and the form going into the busy December, January kind of period wasn't great, and the confidence at that time wasn't particularly high.
No, understandably so. The results hadn't been good, but it's probably more disappointing that there is performances in there. You know, we've shown that against Raith and Clyde. We just didn't see often enough to be able to build that momentum. I think if you'd maybe gotten, hey, hindsight's a great thing, but if we'd maybe gotten a result against Forfar to give you, what would that have been, 10 points for the month, 9 points, It looks slightly different. Again, it's only 3 points of a difference, but it gives you that morale boost that you maybe needed going into December when you had the games against Stranraer, Clyde, East Fife and Airdrie, you know, winnable games.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting to see what happened if we'd gotten more points in November.
Okay, that's it for part one of our season review. Congratulations to our award winners as well. Thanks to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, as ever, and thanks to you guys as well for listening. Keep an eye out for part two, as it will be posted on social media as and when it comes out. Thanks again. Cheers.